Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns, and together we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome back to Living Fullness. We are once again very grateful that you're here, and we're hoping that you have gotten something out of the episode so far. Yeah. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We're excited to kind of continue what we've been doing. But how are you holding up, Padre?
Going well, managing. We've, seminarians have begun exams, and you know, once the first one starts, it's all downhill from there. So that's nice, and. It's actually kind of a good period in a way because, I mean, they're stressed out, so that's not good for them. I get that. And we do everything we can to make sure that they're not, you know, like uber stressed.
Sure.
But no classes, so.
So you're not teaching. I see.
But going well. Yeah. How about for yourself?
Good. It's getting to the Christmas side of things at work. At Country Hope, where I work with families who have children who are diagnosed with cancer or other life-threatening illnesses, we throw a Christmas party at the end of every year, but hello COVID, Christmas parties. So we're in the middle of trying to pull hampers together for every one of our families. So all the boxes are starting to show up in the storeroom, all the gifts are starting to show up. I'm just anticipating all the paper, the gift wrapping and tinsel and all that is yet to come.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
So we are on to the five key elements that's necessary for any relationship that has been coined by Sarah Swafford from Emotional Virtue in the States. So this is part of the series that we've been doing on the natural progression of a relationship. And we've already had the four previous episodes on honesty, trust, time, and virtue. And we are now on to the fifth key element, which is God.
God.
So it's kind of fitting that I'm sitting down with a priest for this one. The first question for you, Padre. If God is everywhere and therefore already in our relationship, Why do we need to go here?
Right, yeah. It's a good question, isn't it? Yes, God is everywhere, but he is also extremely respectful of our freedom. He does not make his presence felt in a relationship without first having had an invitation. And that kind of makes sense in a way, because we say that he's like the friend of all friends. He's the father of all fathers, you know, and a father, a good father and a good friend does not force themselves into the lives of others. You know, a father doesn't force himself into the life of his children. He's there, you know. Particularly as a child grows, he waits for invitation rather than merely to force his way into the life. Obviously, that analogy has limitations insofar as little children, obviously, fathers have a fair amount of control over what happens with little babies and things. So obviously, there are limitations on that analogy. But good fathers and good friends don't force themselves into the lives of children and other friends. And so, God doesn't do that. You know, he waits for an invitation, because at the end of the day, what a true father does is that they don't force anything. That they wait for the invite. God is the friend, he is the father, and so he waits lovingly for us to invite him into our lives and into our relationships. And this is an important point, because God is love. And sometimes another little thing that I make with my seminarians is you know, there's a difference between love and love.
Can we just get that one again?
Difference between love and love. Right. So the love of God is not some sort of, you know, 1970s love. It's rather, it is a, God is love because he is at his core, he's relationship. Relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because he is love, if we model our friendship on him, if we see God as the friend and aim to be like God and to invite him into our friendships, then our friendships qualitatively change.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. And I guess it makes sense then too, doesn't it, if God is love, that he wouldn't force himself, because that's just not what love does in any capacity, in any way, in any form of relationship.
Exactly.
Never forces itself upon anyone.
That's right. That's right.
So in terms of actually, you know, being aware of and in relationship with and so on, you know, what does that actually look like? Like, does that mean we just, you know, say a prayer or something? Like,
Right. Yes. Yes. I mean, basically, yes.
Okay.
But not just like saying a haphazard Our Father and being like, okay, God, I invited you into our relationship. I said an Our Father. It's not just
one off, done and dusted.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just, okay, I said an Our Father about 2 weeks ago, so we're sweet.
2 weeks ago, that's pretty good. Jokes.
It's good, it's good. We should talk to him as we would a friend. And we just said that he is the friend.
Mm. You know,
so we should talk to him as we would a friend. And we should do that every day. And the remarkable thing is that our ability to be a friend is enhanced 100-fold when we are in friendship with God. So every day we should speak to God about friendship. We should speak to him about the friends that we have, the gratitude that we have to him for the friends that he's put into our lives. We should speak to him about the kind of friend that we ourselves want to be. We should speak to him about our weaknesses and our strengths, and we should talk to him about our vices and our virtues. We should approach him with an attitude of gratitude, like, and to thank him for the gifts of beauty and greatness that he's put into our lives and in the world and in the lives of people around us.
So these can just be conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a book that we were made to read in first year, and I do mean made to read, because we were hopeless at actually doing homework. So we were made to read in my first year of seminary, and it was called A Conversation with God. I can't remember the author, but it was detailing the life of Saint Teresa of Avila and her method of prayer. And for Saint Teresa of Avila, it was just prayer is a conversation.
Hmm.
You know, you're having a conversation with God. And so having these conversations with the Lord, but every conversation, remember, is a two-way street. So we must make sure that prayer isn't just a monologue. It's not just us talking to God, because sometimes in my own prayer life, I know that I feel as though God is sometimes saying, if you'd just be quiet for 2 seconds, if you'd let me get a word in edgeways, right, I'll be able to answer what you're saying, what you're talking about. Right? But I can't say anything at the moment because you won't be quiet. So
See, I thought all that shh noise that I was hearing at church was just the kids in the back, but maybe it wasn't.
It was aimed at me.
Maybe it's aimed at me.
So we should give him time to speak to us. And sometimes that just means pausing, just stopping for a second and just saying, God, I'm here, I'm listening. And we don't have to be, you know, trying to manufacture a conversation in our brains. Just let it come. Just be there and be open to Christ. We pray to invite him into our relationships. We pray, we speak to him.
Mm.
And he ensures that we have good relationships.
Mm.
You know, relationships that are based on love, not on use.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I guess in that way too, that relationship that we have with God does directly impact the relationships that we have with others.
It does. Tell us more.
and the kinds of friendships that we make and the impact that has on our friendships. Because when we have God as the center of our friendship, not only do we have a sense of direction and a sense of purpose and a goal for a friendship, but because of those things too, we also have a genuineness.
Mm.
There's no room in a friendship for fakeness and masquerading, and there's no space for that, because there is someone so powerful and incredible and loving and amazing who is the focus that we're always focusing back on. And that means that we actually are allowed to grow
right
in an authentic sincere way where we're not only growing independently as individuals, growing in relationship with God, but as a group of friends also growing closer and essentially becoming more like him doing that too.
Definitely, definitely.
Because we do have God and goodness at the center then, it allows us to really see what's happening. So when things flare up that aren't necessarily great, which happens in any relationship, they become very clear and apparent as to what they are because they're always in – they're always standing against what this greatness and this goodness that is is what we – what this friendship is about and what it's moving towards. Right. Thank you. Yes, right. And so it becomes so clear. There is no room for anything else, anything else that isn't good, because it just can't –
yeah, for sure.
It can't be there in comparison to the greatness that is.
And it also allows then for a sense of mercy.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I remember hearing in a class somewhere taught by a lecturer at some point in my seminary formation. I'm sorry, if you're listening to this and you're like, that was me, how could you not remember? I'm really sorry.
But he is about to remember what was said.
I remember the thing, just not the person who said it. So mercy is not something which is natural to the human condition.
Right.
You know, mercy is something which is really supernatural. That in fact we can only be genuinely fully merciful when God rests in our hearts and in our relationships. Mm. Yeah.
Again, coming back to a previous scene, the previous episode that we spoke about in terms of values, if we don't value love and faith and what they have and what they are, then mercy doesn't make much sense, does it?
That's right.
When those two things aren't present, why be merciful?
Yeah.
What is our motivation there? What is our desire and our hope there if we don't have love and faith?
Yeah.
And love being God, if we don't have them.
Yeah. Yep, spot on.
Why mercy? So absolutely, you know, the number of times I've had to apologize to my friends, I'm so glad. So grateful that they've not only been merciful towards me and forgiving me, but have also given me a second chance and have been supportive and have encouraged me on. You know, they've not held that over me.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, they've spurred me on.
For sure, for sure. So allow me to ask you, isn't it easier and more fun, you know, so to speak, without the seriousness of God and faith? Because we kind of have this, there can be this image of sort of religion and spirituality, which is that it's very serious and kind of this joyless thing. So isn't it more fun and more joyful without God? Doesn't it make the friendship in a way more safe, more assured of joy?
No. Because, you know, you emphasize there the seriousness of it. And I think that's the first thing is, I mean, yes, let's take our relationship with God seriously in that let's be intentional, let's be real about that. But that doesn't mean that it has to be super strict to the point where it's detrimental to who we are and unhealthy and boring and, you know, that I don't think, look, personally, if that was the life of a Christian, I wouldn't be one.
That's not
appealing. I mean, no. who wants to lead a life that doesn't have joy in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Who wants to lead a life and who wants relationships that don't have laughter and humor and
that's right.
Joy. Yes, that's there right. are downs too, definitely.
But sure.
There are so many joys.
Sure. And this is something, I mean, we've often spoken about the boundaries that sit around our friendship in order to help facilitate that friendship. And at the core of that is that we want to put the other first, and we want to do that in the name of and by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Now, all that being said, the amount of times that we've sat down to have joyful, fun times, just to recount one moment that sticks out in my mind. The world is about to find out one of my phobias here.
Please be kind, people.
Please be kind, people. That's right. So Stina and another friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, we got together and it was my birthday and they got me a gift. And they had been
scheming.
They had been scheming and they had been dropping hints that they would be buying me a live spider for my birthday. Now, I'm petrified of spiders, petrified of them. Like, I see them and it's just, you know, my breath gets taken away, and not in the good sense. Like, it's just, it's, yeah, it's like not when you see a vista and it's like, wow, that's a really beautiful scene. My breath has been taken away. No, my breath is taken away in fear. Mm-hmm. It's just petrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And they, on my birthday, got me this sort of large rectangular thing all wrapped up in, all wrapped up in paper and
breathing all I could think of. It.
Yeah, and breathing holes on it in the works. And I'm just like, what? What is this? What is this? And they were just like, "What do you think it is?" And I was freaking out, you know, and I was unwrapping it. And as I was unwrapping it, there was another layer of wrapping, and then another layer of wrapping. And the more that happened, the more that I was getting to a point that I was like, "I just want to know if there's a spider in here."
Let me just clarify here: this wasn't just pure torture.
Yes, it was.
Our reasoning behind it was that we were trying to help to overcome this phobia with exposure.
Sure, sure.
We tried to come up with an excuse and that was the best we had.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it was a pen. So it wasn't a spider after all, it was a pen. I've never been so glad to see a pen in all my life personally, but... So joy, fun, you know, and even, you know, doing things like this.
Yeah, like this podcast.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. We've done talks together before.
Yeah.
Even if we haven't presented the talks together, we've worked on it together to be able to present to different groups of people at the same conference. And obviously we've been working for a while trying to get this podcast up and running. Yeah. And as you can tell, we have significant laughs along the way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that does not mean that God is not present in this relationship.
No.
It doesn't mean that we don't have a faith. It's actually precisely because we do that we're able to have this friendship that we have.
That's right. God has the ultimate sense of humor.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I will be asking him someday, why did you make me friends with this guy?
For your betterment, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. yeah. But I think also with that question of, you know, isn't it more fun without the seriousness of it? I think really what it's trying to say there is, don't all those boundaries and things restrict the relationship? Doesn't that make it harder to be friends? But actually, the opposite is true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you have common values, as we've talked about in the past,
yeah,
you know, it actually gives substance.
That's
and
right.
Anchors a relationship instead of making it fluffy and.
That's right. That's right. It's my first year formator said that when God is left out of a relationship, that relationship tends to resemble cotton candy. You know, it's all substance. It's all substance. Goodness,
it's all air.
It's all air and no substance. Yeah. You know, So
it's gonna make me look at fairy floss a little differently.
Sorry. So and that comes to the fact that, you know, we want friendship sometimes without risk, and as we've said before, that just isn't possible. What are we risking? Well, our hearts, sometimes our reputations, thinking of someone, if we're friends with somebody who isn't exactly popular or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love demands sacrifice. Mm. Sacrifice entails risk. Mm. But that sacrificial love will always create depth and brilliance.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So then that begs another question. Does it mean that I can't be in a good and virtuous relationship or friendship with someone who doesn't share the faith?
Yeah. Okay. That is an important question. So, first of all, those who are not Christian, those who are unbaptized, they are able to grow in natural virtue and they're able to have genuine virtuous friendships. They're able to develop relationships which are directed towards wholesome values and therefore towards the good of another. However, there is something missing.
Mm.
And this is the virtue of charity. Not to be confused with the modern definition of charity, that is, you know, I'm giving money to charity.
Right.
The virtue of charity is really the Holy Spirit, is the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. It's charity, really, at the end of the day, is God dwelling within us. Mm. The virtue of charity is the is how that gift of love, that gift of the Holy Spirit himself, is sort of manifested in the world in a way, but through our actions and behavior. So this virtue of charity then is infused to us at baptism, infused in us at baptism. And it enables us to love not merely in a human way, but enables us to love as God loves, with the love of Jesus Christ from the cross, you know. Now then, the last thing that we want to portray here is the idea that non-Christians are unable to have good lasting friendships, or that they're not able to love. Like that is not what we want to portray or to say, but that there is something qualitatively different from put it this way, there is a call that the Christian has by virtue of his baptism to love as Christ loves. Mm. And that's not to say that every Christian meets up to that. Heavens above. I mean, you know, right here, yeah. You know, it's. I can think of 1,000 ways that I fail in that every single day.
Yep, me too.
So it's not to say that we live up to that call, but that we have that call of loving as Christ loves, and the capacity to unite ourselves with Christ in such a way that can actually become a reality. And so this is the difference we'd point out between a Christian friendship and a non-Christian friendship, is that Christ actually is a game changer in the way that we love. I would point out that a non-religious person can have values to which he or she directs every aspect of their lives, and those values in some way reflect the goodness of God. Mm. In this way, a virtuous friendship is possible. However, it must be said that there is a difference between a naturally virtuous friendship and a supernaturally virtuous one, in what we've just said before.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully that has helped a little in trying to unpack where God sits within a friendship, essentially, in, you know, less than 30 minutes. But that also is the end of the section on the five key elements that's necessary for the growth of any relationship. So go back to previous episodes if you need to, because we will be relying on these five key elements in future episodes as we unpack different types of relationships that we see in the world.
Yep.
So we hope that that's been helpful, but please let us know if it needs clarity.
Sorry, I just cracked my knuckles.
Oh, gross.
I'm really sorry about that. That was about 3 or 4 episodes ago, Stina goes, "Would you stop cracking your knuckles on camera and you need the microphone? It's a disgusting sound." And it just happened. I apologize. Yeah, whoops.
We will forgive you, Father.
Thank you.
So, yeah, please send us in your questions, thoughts, comments. If there is anything that we've said that is unclear or you'd like to question, challenge us even.
Please.
Yeah, please do, by all means. Jump over to Living Fullness Facebook group and put your questions in there, or DM us on Instagram, Virtue Ministry, or on Facebook, also Virtue Ministry. Or if you know us personally, just come up and have a chat as well. Give us a buzz, whatever works for you. But before we end this episode, truth, beauty, and goodness, Padre. Episodes ago, we stuffed this one right up. So here's hopes of rectifying.
All right, here we go. Truth, beauty, and goodness. So recently I went to Albury, and while I was there, very briefly, I stopped in on my parents. My mum and dad have been married now for 49, nearly 50 years. They're a constant source of beauty and joy. The way that they love each other and the way that they care for their family, it's a reminder of how present God is when I see them.
Yeah, and that's entirely non-biased. I can vouch for that. It's entirely non-biased. They're an entirely beautiful couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So a few episodes ago now, Padre, we sat down and we were nutting out, you know, the plan prior to entering into the episode, and we had a proper argument.
What was it again?
We were talking about, you know, this particular, what were we talking about? We were talking about values and celebrities and
you too, yeah.
We were like fully into the thick of it, to-ing and fro-ing like something shocking.
We were. Yep.
Trying to get to the bottom of it with one of us on one end and the other on the other, trying to come to terms with, you know, where do we actually stand on this? Because we can't do a podcast with both of us disagreeing. And we came to the bottom of it and we did this podcast and then I realized, well, actually, you know, that is a blessing in and of itself to be able to do that, to be able to get into the thick of it, fully disagree with one another, fully exactly. disagree.
Exactly.
It's a good thing the camera was not rolling.
Oh, it's not like we were uncharitable. We were just very passionate.
No, exactly. That's right. We were. Yeah, it was a very heated argument. Yeah, it was definitely no rudeness or anything like that involved, but definitely very passionate. It's a good way to put it. But yeah, so that is a blessing in and of itself to be able to have that kind of friendship where we can then go, all right, so we've fixed that issue. Let's move on. Let's do what we need to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Get on with it.
Get on with life. Yeah. That's it.
That's mine for the week.
Nice. Cool.
Alrighty. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this week's episode of Living Fullness. Make sure you jump over to our YouTube channel if you're not already there and subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the podcast as well. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review because that helps with ratings and that helps other people find this podcast too.
Good on you.
And until next time, know of our love and praise.
God bless.